Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. And for the first time in months, we've got some rain.
Yeah.
Quite light so far, but hey, this is the city by the rainforest, and they owe us a lot of precipitation.
Well, the thing is, once the rain starts in Vancouver in the fall, it usually doesn't end until May or June.
Yeah, don't we know it? Okay.
That's why we have 300-foot tall trees.
Yes.
Bob, a couple of listeners have written us some questions. The first one comes from Lauren. Hello, Jim and Bob. Thank you very much for your weekly updates. The question I have relates to the pending recession news from the government. It always comes later than when we're in for it. Lots of laughs here. Anyway, the question, am I correct in saying that with a recession, your assets are always taking a downward trend, like real estate? Banks begin to pull back and begin to highly restrict their loans. And this is what causes the old saying, cash is king.
Isn't that true? Or cash, get the cash for the crash. Now, this was our advice since identifying the excesses in January. And the advice was to build liquidity as best you can on each of the rallies. And this has been proper advice, and we're not yet going back in. But yeah, cash in a crash is good stuff.
Is the idea, Bob, that you've got some dry powder to reinvest once the market bottoms out?
Oh yeah, or when you shift to a different sector, like maybe when eventually the gold sector comes in, you're going to want to own some of those. But if you're just, taking a huge whack, looking at the low prices each month in your statement and saying, best to avoid those. And it's still time to keep trying to build liquidity and pay off debt.
Hmm. Our second question comes from Charlie Binks. Charlie says, Jim and Bob, great shows as always. Bob, I know you're very keen on gold miners after the contraction. What are your thoughts on high-quality dividend-paying preferred shares? Would now be a good time to buy? I'm thinking Talus, BCE, Enbridge, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie, thanks for that one, because this one is a problem with the brokerage community, is that, yeah, you can see a bear market or see it as it starts, and then you go to defensive stocks, and essentially, not like Boeing or Raytheon, but stocks like utilities that are considered defensive. And within that, you'd include the preferreds. But we're going into a post-bubble contraction, and many of these interest rate items and preferred shares are, even though they may be of some of the senior banks, they can go down in price and up in yield because of perceived risk. And I wouldn't buy them. I'd be selling some of them because it's a form of liquidity. Now, you're going to give up some immediate yield. But there are other items to get into. I think a more protective sector would be find a good bond broker and buy some about 4-year good grade corporate bonds. And with that, you'll get a reasonable income return, but also they'll be redeemed at par. in, say, 4 years, if you choose the four-year term. And then, obviously, you're in Canada, so do a little work and see if you can find some four-year good-grade corporates in the States. You'll get not just the better return, you'll also get a kick from the currency players. The Canadian dollar is likely to stay relatively weak relative to the U.S., although it's given up a lot. But who knows? If the Trudeau government stays in office, our target is 63, and that would be a disaster. But anyways, yeah, the preferred shares, some of them could be risky as to a price decline as yields go up. And the ones you mentioned, there's not a risk of failure. But it's just not a place to be for the next 4 or 5 months or so or whatever. So, and as I said, there's an alternative with buying a four-year corporate bond that'll be redeemed at par in that time. So, yeah, hey, it's a good question.
Mm-hmm. And they asked about gold miners. Is now a time to get into gold miners?
Yeah, our advice now, or the last week or so, has been to begin slow accumulation of gold stocks. That would be from the big seniors to small cap gold stocks. And we will have I think we've got a couple of ways to come up with the definitive buy on them. But in the meantime, the advice is just to slowly accumulate on down days. So that's a savvy way of going about it.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your attention today. The first one, junk-rated company search for the right time to tap investors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're still desperate for money, and they had such good winning deals and ideas and whatnot that they were willing to raise all kinds of money at the higher yields that they had to pay for junk. But hey, over history, last year the yields for junk were quite low, so it was tempting, and they got loaded up. And now, of course, maybe some of the actual operations are not working out so well. So then they got to raise more money, and investors are now retreating from taking risk, which is appropriate. So, yep, signs of the times.
Headline: Home builder confidence falls for record 10th month.
Yeah. Yeah, that one is a series that we watch, and 10 months in a row of declining. It's is contraction type stuff, I would guess. So not good. And then residential house prices have been very high in the States and exceptionally high in Canada. So, Vancouver and Toronto is two examples. And the other one, Jim, is I did a study on, or it's not completed yet, on residential and farmland prices going way back. And then I looked at the rise in Toronto residential index and where in Vancouver in 2008, there was maybe a 10% setback. In Toronto, that index just kept steaming up. So then I get into agricultural land prices in the States, and index is up to, I don't know, I got so many numbers in my head, maybe 3,800 per acre. And then I stumble on land values, farmland values in Ontario, the province of, and it's up to like $12,000 per acre. Absolutely insane. So if anybody's interested in this study, get in touch with us And by next week, I should have it completed.
Headline: Credit Suisse approaches Middle Eastern Fund for Capital.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Credit Suisse, an important Swiss bank for ages, I guess became a little too reckless in the media and is in, their stock is in steep decline. And there's discussions of default and bailout and everything else. So it's one of these things that you want to watch because it's sort of like a bellwether on the rest of the market. So, and a big bank going broke in Europe or England or the U.S. is serious stuff. So we'll be watching it closely.
Headline: As pension goes broke, bankruptcy haunts city near Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jim, this is a sad one. It's maybe a community of 35,000 people, working people, and their problem is pension fund obligations. And that, it's also, sadly, it's a pension fund for their police force. So maybe this was all set up 30 or 40 years ago when the... the town itself was bigger and more prosperous and everything else. And then conditions change. So the population is diminished, the prosperity is diminished, and yet the city, which means taxpayers, has this obligation to provide an agreed-upon pensions. So it's... I don't know how it works out, but I was taken by it, and it really is quite sad for both the taxpayers in the city and the supposed beneficiaries in the police force. But hey, it's happening. They are having a severe problem servicing that obligation.
Yes, a lot of police forces have pension plans. A, you get to retire after 20 years. And then a lot of people join, you know, retire and then join another police force, work another 20 years. So they have two pensions and police pensions often pay you your full salary at whatever last rank you were when you retired. So it's very costly.
Yep. They get a good deal. They're getting a better deal than the taxpayers are.
But as we have seen, just locally here, very sadly, an RCMP officer stabbed while trying to help a homeless person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
I heard that one in the news,
A headline: In China's property sector, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, that was a very effective headline. I mean, they built empty cities and built roads and railroads to service them. And it was sort of from one empty city to the next. And, it's all coming apart. And big time. This is also what's going to affect real estate in Canada with Toronto and Vancouver, is that this is this study I just did. In Toronto, their index of home prices did not go down in 2008-2009. As a matter of fact, they kept stepping up. And then in Vancouver, there was a brief check back then. But the main thing is that in real estate in the U.S., as you know, from 2006 to 2009, really got hit hard, residential. But in that case, in the U.S., the Asian bid wasn't big enough to offset the hit to the market. Whereas in Vancouver, there was an Asian bid, maybe limited the dip to about 10%. And whatever was going on in Toronto, man, there was no check back at all. It just kept going up. So it's impressive, some of these price rises. And then the other one, Jim, I stumbled on was an index of farmland prices in Ontario, up to something like $12,000 per acre. And in the U.S., farmland values in Iowa or Ohio or wherever, up to maybe $3,800. So it's a whole different ballgame. So there's been something absolutely crazy in farm prices in Ontario and home prices in Toronto. It's been absolutely wild. It'll be interesting to see how this all works out. But if anybody's interested, we've got the study. It should be ready next week.
Headline, shadow government in Putin own backyard plots against him.
Send in James Bond.
Yeah, Schmorsch. I love battling Schmorsch, I'll tell you what.
That's what's going to be needed, yeah. Putin made a very bad decision. His armed forces have not been competent. And it's a disaster. And for the last 6 months, we've been saying that at some point Russia runs out of money, and Putin can no longer prosecute the war. And then he's been threatening nuclear weapons, and I believe some very high up generals in the Kremlin are saying, "Uh-uh, nada, you ain't going to do that." And there's opposition movements developing against Putin. I think the next wave down in this contraction, Russia really runs out of money, and then the whole system comes to a stop. And Putin finds a reason to get out of Ukraine.
Headline, UK corporate bond sell-off, one for the books.
Oh, yeah. The best way to describe it, Chris, as I've been saying, is that bond prices were soaring. So let's call that inflation in bond prices. So that's one thing. But then institutions in England, with the prices going up, the yields were going down. So then they ventured out into lower grade bonds and stuff like that. But not only that, and I didn't know it until I read about it recently, is that they were also kind of parking the securities such that the brokers, dealers could create derivatives off them. So the fund managers put themselves at risk in two ways. One, buying a straight up bond market, and two, getting involved indirectly in kind of a leveraged game. So it was a disaster, and the Bank of England had to move to buy a whole bunch. So the next question becomes is, when does the Bank of England get out of what they bought? Who knows?
Also, we should remember the name of Liz Truss, because she's going to be a trivia question forever. The shortest serving PM ever in UK history.
Oh, yeah.
But she was a financial disaster from start to finish. Her mini budget, everybody told her if you put it into effect, it will crash your pension plans.
Oh, yeah. The establishment does not want sound government. Let's face it, they don't want that at all. She was attempting, but she got sandbagged by people in her own party. But I also hear, you know, you have the quick turnover in prime ministers, and this one is really incredible. The governing classes are out of control. Or let's put it this way, here's a better line. The governing classes have become ungovernable. And, of course, at the end of the Roman Empire, there was a period where there were almost every other month you had a different emperor. So, you know, it's not new what's going on. It's pathetic what's going on, because in this wild, crazy, speculative world of finance, it's not just finance that went radical. It was politics that went radical. And this is all, I think, beginning to unwind. It's a classic one where the radical expansion of government is funded through radical inflation. But the problem is with inflation is whether they're putting currency or credit into the system, it'll go into speculation and financial items. And this then becomes the trap. Once the financial speculation breaks, it ends the radical financial experiment, and it ends the radical experiment in politics. So, as ugly as it's going to be, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, and Liz Truss lasting 45 days as British Prime Minister, that timeline's very important, because that means she now qualifies for a full prime ministerial pension.
I did not know that.
Oh, yes. That was.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Our friend Hilliard Macbeth brought that up.
No, that's a good one to know. And sadly, she was in long enough to get. Oh, that is terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Bob, they're saying Boris Johnson may come back as prime minister.
Oh, he may, but then Nick Farage is talking about it, and he would be the one that could clean up the mess. But as he said in his utterance the other day, he's going to have a lot of help from people that were in his Brexit movement, as well as strong leaders in the Conservative Party. But no, Boris blew it. He had for the first time in 100 years, the Conservative Party on their last election picked up a huge number of seats in the Midlands, which was, as I said, 100 years Labour vote. So he had the populace coming in like Trump had. And then Boris went crazy on climate fears and all that sort of stuff and blew it completely. So it's going to take somebody. I hope that they realize that Farage is the guy that can do it, and I hope it shifts towards him. But they will have a leader within the Conservatives, so-called Conservatives, will have a leader within a few weeks.
Bob, always a pleasure chatting with you.
Well, even on a rainy Friday in Vancouver, Jim, we always have a good time.
When you haven't had any rain for 4 months, a little bit of rain's pleasant.
Yep.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.